In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we are continuing with volume 23, March 8th. 1928. And Jesus says, my daughter Louisa, the soul decides to live in my divine will. Okay, so the very first thing that, you know, people are saying, how do I know I'm in the divine will? Well, first of all, it's your decision. When you decide to live in the divine will, that's, Jesus says, that's the beginning, that's the first step that you take, wanting, desiring this life, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, which was given to Louisa. And then without giving life to her human will anymore. Okay, so the second step is we want this, and we don't want to live in our human will any longer. And if we go to confession, we understand what our human will is. It's all our faults. It's all our human inadequacies. It's not. So when you make a good confession, you are full of grace, and you know when, and you're happy. In the divine will, it's to decide to live no longer in your human will, which you confess each week when you go to confession, but to live in God's holy divine will, not giving life to your human will any longer. You want the divine will. You want to possess this gift. So this longing that you have for Jesus is what the Lord is looking for. Not only you're making the decision, a firm decision, he says, to live in the divine will, but also a firm decision of not giving life to your human misery any longer. So what the Lord does then at that point is he tests us with situations where he will say, now this is your human will, your misery. Do you want to continue to live in this misery? So what happens is you're faced with things that will worry you, things that will upset you, things that will make you negative, things that will make you complain. And Jesus is going to say, basically to us in that situation, what do you want? And we have to be like that, those blind people that went to Jesus, or the people that were very, very ill and said, Lord, if you wish to do this, we trust that you're going to heal us. And this healing, what does Jesus say? He says, I do wish this. The Lord wants to free us from ourselves. How we have grown in the spiritual life, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional life. He wants to free us and heal us. This is what the divine will is all about. The divine will is to begin to live again the true life of Jesus, Mary, which is no worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, no sin. So the Lord puts us in situations where he shows us our misery. Normally you would get upset. You know, it's always interesting to see souls who get very angry very quickly. They get very angry and start, you know, using abusive language, swearing, cursing. And what happens is when they enter the divine will, Jesus shows them, you know, I want to free you of this. I want to free you of your misery. When you're presented with a situation, I want you to give your fiat. Again, it doesn't mean to want that which is evil or bad, but you give the fiat to the Lord. Okay, Lord, you're trying to teach me something. I'm a stubborn mule, and again, Opus Sanctorum Angelorum, tells us that you give authority to your guardian angel, a holy guardian angel. Protect me, lead me, guide me, direct me, bring me to heaven. This your job is your as my brother companion for all eternity. Your job is to help me. So beat me as you would a stubborn mule to get me on my way. And this is, again, it's total surrender, total docility, total submission. I'm stubborn. I'm miserable. I'm worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative. Lord, you have to, you've given me my holy guardian angel. You have to, I give my holy guardian angel the freedom to lead me closer to you, the freedom to choose not the negative, but the positive. So what happens over a period of time, that soul, instead of getting angry and swearing, says, thank you. And at first it's very difficult. Thank you, Lord. So the three things that happen is when we go through difficulties is number one, we thank God for the situation. Thank you, Jesus, for showing this to me. Number two, I'm sorry, Lord, it's happening to you. Because the Lord is the one who's offended all the time, not us. And then third, I want to repair this, redo this. Not only this sin, but all sins, past, present, and future. I want to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary on Calvary, offering up this situation that's offending God, first of all, and repairing it, redoing it. So when we do this, a lot of times when Jesus shows Louisa, and this is what's really beautiful about volume 1 through volume 10, Jesus is teaching us. I mean, if you haven't read 1 through 10 and really studied it, it's the simple way of becoming a saint. It's the easy way of becoming a saint. And this is what Jesus says. He says, I want you to become a saint, first of all, volume 1 through volume 10. Then once that is accomplished, sanctity, there's no worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, no sin. And he says, then the next stage is living in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. So this living in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit, no one has seen before. The apostles with the Blessed Mother on Pentecost Sunday got a glimpse of this. This like, it's just the beginning of this fruit, this, the season of fruitfulness, strawberries, rhubarb, asparagus, you know, this, it's the beginning. We're out of winter. Now we're going to be in summer to have this, harvest in the fall. And that's what's coming, this great time of sanctification. St. Thomas Aquinas says, anything that happens supernaturally must first happen naturally. So this freedom that's coming is going to make us so free to live in the divine will through the power, the wisdom, the love of the Holy Spirit, that the next step is to enter in and receive back again the divine inheritance of the Father. So what the Lord does is he puts us in situations, and when we become worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, he says basically, you're still living in your human will. You're still attracted to your human will of reacting this way. So the very first thing is you decide, make a firm decision not to live in your human, firm decision to live in the divine will, firm decision not to live in your human misery any longer. And the reason, Jesus says, is order to be sure and to give security to the soul who does these two things. I want to live in the divine will, and I don't want to live in my human will any longer. I'm using my free will to choose not to live in the human will any longer. Free will to choose to live in the divine will from now on. And Jesus says, in order to be sure and to give security to the soul, I, God, bind the soul with chains of light. Now think of a chain of light. It's very, It's not chains of iron. It's you can walk away from chains of light. He says, but when we realize what the divine will is, when we want this gift of the divine will, these chains of light will bind us, will keep us one with God, living in the divine will. Now, again, you have to see it from a supernatural perspective. God is not going to chain us with chains of iron. That's what the evil one does, with possession or obsessions. He chains us, you know, to live a life that is oppressive. There's no happiness in it. Constantly being afraid, constantly worried, constantly. It's Jesus says, I will bind you with these truths, with these lessons that he's teaching Louisa and also teaching us, so that what you're going through, you want to stay in the joy-filled, happy life, no matter what you're going through. If you're in Siberia at the concentration camp, you could be peaceful, joyful, and happy. There is a priest, if you haven't heard of him, Father Delp, D-E-L-P, Alfred Delp. He spoke against the Nazis, and he was put in prison, and he was to be hanged. that's what they said. We're bringing you in prison because we're going to kill you, because we don't like the way you speak. And people would give him little pieces of paper where he would write. Now here he is in prison. He's filled with hope. When you read Father Delp, D-E-L-P, he is filled with trust in God, belief in God, hope in God, confidence in God. And they finally killed him. They finally hung him. And it was basically a couple months before Hitler killed himself. And when you read Father Delp, here he is in prison. He's handcuffed in prison. And he's writing joy. He's writing about happiness. He's writing about confidence in God. He's writing about how he's brilliant. He puts these words together. And as you read it, you're filled with happiness. The reason I'm bringing him up is this is the stepping stone to living in the divine will. Happiness, confidence in God, trust in God. The final devotion that Jesus said to St. Faustina before I return, the divine final devotion that he gives to the church is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. This is these chains of light. This is I want to possess this. God goes, good. And in his gentle and loving way, he chains us with light where at any time we could walk away. Anytime we could say no to God. But what happens is these chains of light illuminate our understanding of how God loves us so much that he's freeing us from ourselves. He's freeing us from ourselves. And he says very, very clearly, you have to begin to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness, even if you're in prison. Why? God is in charge. Jesus is in charge. Our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. He went to prison, and he basically took our place. He died so that we would not have to die eternally. And he took upon himself this suffering where when we really meditate on Christ crucified, we are filled with a peace, joy, and happiness. So these chains of light that he wraps us in is to help us begin to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more. And it will be the point of no more sin. This is what God has planned. And he needs us to want this life, desire this life. So when we're faced with prison, like Father Doubt. Execution, like Father Doubt. And Father Doubt didn't even know about the divine will. He was doing the will of God and living this life of a saint, volume 1 through volume 10. And when he writes, you can't imagine that he's chained, he's handcuffed, waiting to be executed. There is so much joy. And again, this is Luisa. Luisa did not eat, drink, or sleep for 64 years. Archbishop Piccieri said 70 years. What happens is she joyfully lived this life. Okay, we don't have to do this. I mean, what Luisa went through, we don't have to go through. We go through glimpses of it, but no big deal. Jesus says, we have to understand that these chains of light illuminate our understanding of what God is doing in this situation, where you don't have to be worried. You don't have to be fearful. You don't have to be negative. You don't have to be complaining. It's everything becomes fiat. I mean, think of Our Lady after giving birth to the Savior of the world, Joseph says to her, we have to go to Egypt. She says, fiat. It's her idea was back to Nazareth, to live in their home. But God had another plan, and it was to go to Egypt. And that's where she went with Joseph and the baby Jesus. And the first part of the life Jesus, Mary, and Joseph was the Blessed Mother was in a foreign land with no friends, no family, just Joseph, and was falling in love with her son, recognizing the Son of God, recognizing Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah. God put her in this situation of being separated from everyone and everyone, for everything and everyone, in order to have Our Lady fall more in love with her son, more in love with the life of God. And it's basically hidden from us because this is the intimacy that God wanted for Our Lady and our Lord, this oneness. So Jesus says, these changes of light, I do this so that not to take away the soul's free will, a gift given to the creature in creation. This free will that God is giving to us, these chains of light, we can break away at any time. They're not chains of iron that the devil puts us in, but they're chains of light which we desire to possess this light, this love of God. Jesus says, what I, God, give once, I, God, never take back unless the creature herself rejects my gifts. So this chain of light, it's up to us whether we want to be chained with this love, this light, this life of God. It's up to us. So what most have discovered who are reading the Book of Heaven is as you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, you fall more in love with God, more in love with this life. Okay. This universal life that Adam lost. And what happens at that point is it's not forced on you. So what happens is you read the Book of Heaven. And again, I like the calendar. Every day, new and more beautiful understandings Jesus teaches us. As he speaks to Luisa, as he teaches Luisa, he teaches us as much as we want, or as little as we want. So each word that you read is, Jesus says that he speaks, the word of God speaks, is a divine life that is infinite. And as you read this, you begin to understand what this word means, what this phrase means. This light illuminates our understanding. And to understand what the illumination of conscience, the illumination of conscience is understanding the book of heaven. If this is what's coming, it's those that are reading, those that are studying, those that are putting into practice have a scratch, a piece of this infinite life that our God wants us to possess. And as the soul reads every day, the soul becomes happy. And I was busy. I remember this one time, and I couldn't read. I had to get things done. I was traveling. And after about the second day, I'm just oppressed. I'm like, oh, I got to get this done. Oh, and I'm going, what's going on? What's going on? And what was going on was I wasn't reading. I wasn't listening to Jesus talk. I wasn't listening to Jesus' lessons. What the Lord shows is when anyone in the divine will is worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative, they're not reading enough. And if one priest told me once, if you can't spend an hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament each day, he said, you need 2 hours. If you can't be there for an hour, you need to be there 2 hours. There's something wrong. The life, the love, the light of God that you're with in front of the monstrance, you're with our Savior, our King. And if you can't spend an hour, it means that you need 2 hours. It's very practical. The evil one, what happens to a lot of people in front of the Blessed Sacrament is that last 3 minutes are the longest. And a lot of people go, well, it's close enough. It's almost an hour. Now, what I've seen is God speaks powerfully in the last few minutes. That's where he waits to see who cheats, if you want to say, who sneaks away. It's 59 minutes and 45 seconds. I'm done. No, it's to be with the Lord. So Jesus says, I never take back unless the creature herself rejects my gifts. So he can't take away from us what we want, the divine will. What we don't want is the human will. So he binds us with this light, and the soul can do whatever she wants. So I bind the soul with light in a way that if she wants to, she can go out from whatever she wants. But in order to go out, she has to make an incredible effort, because these chains of light will invest all of her acts. In each act of hers, she will feel, listen to this, and see the divine beauty, the divine grace, the divine richness that this divine light, these chains of light, communicate to each and one of her acts, every thought, every word, every deed. So when the illumination of conscience comes, we're going to understand this. And we're going to understand that we have entered into a new era. The illumination of conscience is like the ticket on the train, if you want to say. The illumination of conscience is to begin to understand from a divine perspective what God has planned. And what is this divine perspective? Do you think Jesus is going to say, okay, here we are. Now we're going to have the illumination of conscience. What I said to Louisa, don't worry about it. I've got something important to tell you. Jesus isn't going to do that, because he says to Louisa, the book of heaven is the gospel of the kingdom. He says in Matthew 24, until the gospel of the kingdom is proclaimed, the kingdom can't come here. It's it. It's the fullness of the Catholic faith. And as we read, as we study, and as you go through, I mean, I've heard people say, well, I've read the Book of Heaven. It's not any good. I said, how much have you read? Well, I read a couple of chapters. Nah, I don't. They haven't even begun to learn the language of heaven. It's a language, Jesus says, of heaven that we must learn. And if you want to learn any language, you go to the country and you start speaking, listening and speaking and entering into, how do you say this? How do you say that? And what happens is you begin to understand the language. It's the same thing with the Book of Heaven. When you go through all 36 volumes the first time, it's amazing. It's amazing. The second time, it's more amazing. The third time, you've never read this before. God keeps on expanding our capacity, this light, this love, this life of God, as the word Jesus Christ speaks, as we read, study, and put this into practice, our awareness becomes more. Because he said to Louisa, I can't breathe into you as we breathed into dust. Dust was infinite. There was no limit. We could fill Adam as much as we wanted. And what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. But he says, we are already formed. He says, I can't expand your capacity. You'd break apart like a balloon. He says, so each word that I speak, the word of God speaking these words, it expands our capacity to understand more. So 100,000 years from now, when we're entering into this life, it's just the beginning. It's just, again, the scratching of the surface. God is so infinite. He has such beauty, such love, such power, such wisdom. We're never going to be able to embrace God the way we think we're doing. So Jesus is saying, he says, these chains of light will invest all of the person's thoughts, words, and deeds, each act that they do. And the soul will feel, and listen to this, see. We're going to recognize divine beauty, divine grace, divine richness that this divine light communicates to the soul. This chain of light that's around us, we're going to understand it. We're going to participate in it. It becomes part of us. It's not separate from what God has planned from the beginning of time. And Jesus says, it will form the enchantment and the true eclipse for the human will. Okay. When we see the eclipse of the sun, the moon covers the sun. You can't see the sun. It's the human will is going to be eclipsed by the divine will. The divine will is going to cover, if you want to say, all our worry, all our fear, all our anxiety, all our complaints, all our negativity, all our sin. So Jesus says, if you really want to live in the divine will, if you choose not to live in your human will, then he will free us of ourselves. And when we're in a situation that's terrifying, it's Jesus, I trust in you. We're in a situation that's overwhelming, Jesus, I trust in you. Do you see why God has to free us? Because because of Adam's sin, we have fallen so far, Jesus said, it's a miracle that Adam survived when he hit the ground, if you want to say. And he says, now that Jesus has redeemed us, our Lady co-redeemed with Jesus on Calvary. She was with Jesus on Calvary. And what happens at that God is now freeing us of our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, and even to the point of no sin. Nobody's there yet, but this is what God promises. To become a saint, we're all failures at that, all of us. Even John Paul II, you know, when he appeared to that nun recently, supposedly, he said he had to go to purgatory. Even John Paul II, who was filled with peace and joy, wasn't perfect. We are going to have to go through some really difficult situations, really difficult situations. And we're going to trust in God in every one of those situations. Jesus, well, scripture says that the time will be shortened for the sake of the elect. And he says those that survive what's coming will be living in the divine will. If this is God's will for us, so be it. If we have to be martyrs, so be it. It's if you can get a glimpse of Father Delp, if you can read some of his writings, you'll understand what I'm saying. It's if this is what God has asked us to go through, it's joy, it's happiness. There's no worry. There's no fear. There's no anxiety. There's freedom. The freedom that we have as sons and daughters of God are it's to face any situation with confidence in God, knowing that God's going to take care of the situation. That's what St. Louis de Montfort says. The final days will be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world. And it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. That's what's coming. This will form this freedom, these chains of light that God covers us with, secures us with, will form the enchantment, the true eclipse of, for the human will in such a way that the soul will feel happy. The soul will feel honored to be bound with these chains of light that are so noble. It's to free us from the iron chains of the evil one. And God knows that, you know, he has to take care of his little ones. So that will bring so much good that the soul will yearn for what is human to have no more life in her acts. So when you do your prevening act in the morning, your last line should be, I don't want to do anything human anymore. I want you, Lord, to do everything in me. Breathe in my breathing, Jesus. Beat in my heart at beating, Jesus. Gaze in my gazing. Dance in my dancing. Sing in my singing. I don't want to do anything that is human anymore. Now that might sound strange at first, but we're going to go to heaven. That's not anything to do with the fallen nature of humanity. We have been redeemed, but we're not sanctified. Heaven is sanctification. The divine will is to be sanctified, not to fall into human traps anymore, not to have any human misery anymore. So Jesus says to Louisa, these are the souls that are going to survive because their total trust is in God and God alone. Their total confidence is in God and God alone. Complete, complete, complete confidence. Not just complete, complete. God wants totality. He wants us to totally trust in him, totally have confidence in him. He is our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. Do we believe that? If we believe that, we want the divine will to reign in us. We don't want our human will to reign in us any longer. Jesus says, the soul will be happy, will be honored to be bound with these chains of light that are so noble that will bring the soul so much good. And this is what, when you're reading every day, Jesus is getting us ready. You will yearn for what is human to have no more life in our acts. And will long with the ardor of the love of God for the divine will to take its place. Jesus, I want you to be my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. I want you to breathe in my breathing. I don't want to breathe anymore. I don't want my heart beating anymore. I want you to beat in my heart beating. I want you to breathe in my breathing. I want you to gaze in my gazing. I want you to hear in my hearing. That's what he says in volume 36. He says, the human senses were made for God. They belong to God. That's what he did with Adam, image and likeness. When he gazed, God was gazing. He was allowing God to reign in him completely until he said, I don't want this anymore. I want my will. I want my misery to be in charge. And that's where we've been. So Jesus comes as the new Adam. Mary comes as the new Eve to redeem mankind. And now they have breathed this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary in the newborn Louisa. That's what the book of heaven is about. And God says to Louisa and to us, if you want this gift, go to Louisa. If you want to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, go to Louisa. So this is why we read every day. We're going to Louisa, not for Louisa's sake, but to receive what God gave to her, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. Again, we don't want human X anymore in us. We want to totally die to the human and embrace the divine. We're that drop of water put in the chalice filled with wine. Every day at Holy Mass, that drop of water fuses and diffuses as it's dropped in the wine and becomes wine. It's not oil and water. It doesn't separate. Jesus is saying to us, I have plans for you. I want you to share in my divinity. I want to give to you what Adam lost. And he says, this universal life that Adam lost, he says, I want to breathe into humanity again. And the one who has accomplished this, the soul born of original sin who has accomplished this, is Louisa. And why did she accomplish it? Jesus says that it's her mission. Her mission is to give back to all of humanity this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, this new Adam and the new Eve, more than what God breathed into Adam. More. And when Jesus said to Louisa, he says, Louisa, you will not lose this gift as Adam lost the gift. And Louisa says, well, if Adam was filled with this life, how can I not lose it? I mean, if Adam lost this life that the Ruah of God, the breath of God breathed into him, how can I? Louisa says, I'm nobody, I'm nothing. How can I not lose this life? And Jesus says to Louisa, because Adam didn't have me as his Adam. He didn't have my mother as his Eve. You have me as your new Adam, Mary as the new Eve. And Jesus says, and you cannot lose this. This is for all the world. This abundant life, this abundant light, this abundant love of God found in Jesus, the Son of God, Mary, the Mother of God, that was given to the newborn Louisa. So the soul, Jesus says, will feel free and bound, but not by force. Free, but bound, but not by force. It's we voluntarily say yes. And again, if you're going through the prayer for Ascension Thursday, the vow for Ascension Thursday, it's to give to God, promising God that you I don't want my human will anymore. I want the divine will. And in exchange, God said, Louisa says, I give you my human, you give me the divine. That's Ascension Thursday. And then a few days later is Pentecost. You have to understand what's coming upon the earth is heaven. The kingdom of God is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven. And God is asking us, he didn't ask the saints. He's asking us to say fiat to what God is going to do. You will feel free, but you will be bound, but not by force. You're voluntarily saying, I want this light to keep me in my place so that God can bring about what he has planned. Now, what he says to Louisa is, every one of my children in the divine will become my divine masterpiece. God's masterpiece, for God. Jesus says, you're going to be free. You're going to be bound, but not by force, rather spontaneous of her own desire, attracted by the great good that comes to her in such a way as to see her acts, every thought, every word, every deed, surrounded by many circles of light that forming chains around that soul. Louisa, first of all, hopefully us, every thought, every word, every deed is a circle of light that surrounds us, forming these chains, transforming the soul into the light itself. This is why I said the illumination of conscience that's coming, it's all based on the divine will. God's not going to say, forget about what I said to Louisa. Now I've got something spectacular to tell you. He's already told us. When you're reading the book of heaven, you're finding out what the Lord has planned for humanity. He's going to circle us with this chains of light, so that whatever we think, whatever we say, whatever we do in the divine will, it's more circles of light that surround us, forming these chains. And then what does Jesus say? These chains of divine light, divine life, divine love will transform the soul. There'll be so many of every thought, every word, every deed, that all that will happen will be the soul will enter into this light, participate in this light. Now, remember what Jesus says, the divine will is like the sun in the sky. And what he is calling humanity is to enter into that sun and participate in God. That's what Jesus is saying here. But attracted by the great good that comes to the soul, this great gift of the divine will, in such a way to see all that she thinks, says, and does, intellect, memory, and will, surround her with many, many, many circles of light, forming these chains which transforms the soul into light itself. Entering into the sun and participating in God. That drop of water becomes wine. Fuses and diffuses. And that's why when you learn fusing yourself to the triune God, when you learn how to fuse yourself to Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, when you learn how to fuse yourself with creation, redemption, and sanctification, this is what Jesus teaches Louisa. This is why you have to learn this. The more that you read, the more you're going to understand. The more that you are aware of these lessons that Jesus is giving to us. And his lessons are infinite. you're never going to say, well, I've learned it all. You're never going to be that way, because God is trying to get us to allow him, the Lord God Almighty, to transform us into his image and likeness. That's the book of heaven. How fortunate we are to possess this gift. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command, that all the little children of the holy divine will be divinely healed, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.